Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where Dave and Jacob maintain eye contact for 5 minutes straight and then fall in love.
I don't think I'd have a problem. I might have a problem not falling in love with Jacob, but I could easily maintain eye contact with
anyone
at this table for 5 minutes.
That's whenever I was moving to Murray, I was like, I think I'm in a dorm. And Jacob's like, no, look into my eyes. And then we were roommates.
I already feel more connected.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It's nice.
They say that I've heard that I read this in a Men's Health when I was, I think, 9 years old, that you shouldn't wear glasses because you're not able to have meaningful eye contact with a possible
mate. It's not unprotected eye contact.
It's not true.
Come on, dude. It was in Men's Health in 1989.
The title was Glasses or Eye Condoms. And it was just like,
it's actually Glasses or Eye Condoms? ?
We had 50 men with or without glasses. All of them without glasses fell in love. The ones with glasses did not.
Whose eyes do you most want to fuck, ladies?
Not those.
Not those.
Wrapped up in eye condom.
Well, it's Original Flavor Wednesday, and that means we're playing through Dorkly's top 25 N64 games. So for that, because it's N64, who will be our most frequent N64 patron, Nicole Nance, of Kirby fame, is here. Not looking anyone in the eyes, so she won't fall in love with any of us.
Too late, Nicole. We know you love us. We know you fell in love with us years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fell deeply into that friend zone. Yeah. Yeah. And then, because he's in town.
That's how all of my intros begin. He's in town. Why not?
Our first guest host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Very first. Jay Bjork, now of Wolf Fighting fame.
Yeah, that's me.
And of Gene Wilder Seduction fame.
Duh.
Jay Bjork.
That was a hard week that
the
we spent.
The 80s. Fucking 80s were a different time.
Did you stare into Gene Wilder's eyes for 5 minutes?
Gene Wilder stared into my eyes while it was like a Clockwork Orange mechanism. And I was like, fuck, I can't help but fall in love with you.
He is your spirit animal.
Yeah. He's my Patronus.
Gene Wilder in the whole Willy Wonka garb.
And he just has his cane and is like smacking Dementors
that's
away.
That's a pretty good Patronus. All right. I've also had a fair amount of pure grain alcohol. So I'm looking at everybody and you're all a little swimmy.
Tune into Tadpog for video game talk and Tyrone's slow descent into alcoholism.
it's like the end of Doogie Howser when he journals. Like, that's what it is for like Tyler's alcoholism.
I have never seen even one episode of Doogie Howser.
Like, just on purpose? You were like, you decided, like Star Wars, you're like, I'm not watching this.
No, I just missed it. I just missed it. And like Star Wars, like when I was younger, I wanted to see Star Wars. I genuinely wanted and asked, but was denied. So now it just gives me perspective on bad Star Wars games. So,
well, when we play a Doogie Howser game, you'll have that same exact perspective.
whatever Ruby Bear and Paul Kool makes the Doogie Howser RPG.
It has to be text-based.
Text-based Doogie Howser RPG. Oh, man. See, now Nicole and Jacob are making eye contact. It's pretty good. Jacob's going to win this. So
win it? Wait, I think they both win.
Nicole will have to look away. She'll feel herself falling. There you go. She just looked away. She will have to let she fall in love and ruin her relationship with Josh.
Sorry,
Josh. Or incorporate Josh into their marriage.
Enrich her
Jacob,
relationship.
Yeah, Jacob comes into their marriage, which I'm totally support 100%.
Tyrone's in favor of anything that gets me back to Kentucky on a regular basis. So yeah. If that means me being in a common law three-person marriage.
Or involves Josh bottoming on a fairly frequent basis, I'm all for it.
Your eyes are brown.
Yeah. I know, right?
And your dick is hard.
I'm looking at his eyes. So.
She doesn't know that for sure.
We all
she
assume.
Can only theorize.
This is weird. And it's
that means you're about to fall in love. This is that. Yep. Don't this be that awkward zone.
Don't be afraid of the. Don't See, be afraid.
We're
of
making
the
we're making this joke because before we started the podcast, we were talking about this test that people take. And oftentimes by the end of it, if they're strangers, they fall in love by the end of it.
I think it's best we don't explain.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's talk about how we're making eye contact with each other for no particular reason.
I'm sure everyone's familiar with this test and we don't have to mention it at all.
I think that that's difficult for me because eye contact does not come naturally to me. So I feel like I need to be like...
I like eye contact a lot. And that's I always kind of feel weird when I am maintaining eye contact with somebody and I get this thing where it's like... Am I looking at this person too hard?
Too hard.
Like, do I need to like just kind of like?
Are my eyes super wide?
Right. Yeah. They're like, who is this crack fiend who is like all about this? That's just I just generally want to look someone in the eye.
Eye contact doesn't bother me either, but I feel like anytime like I try to play stare eyes or whatever, I generally win, especially with girls. I guess it's sort of like just by personality, all the girls have to look away because it's just like, okay, we're fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, for me, it's pretty easy to maintain eye contact just because of acting, because of my acting training. Yeah. It's, you know, that's one of the main things that they teach you is to make eye contact with your scene partner. So it's easy.
This is the thing you do.
Yeah.
The person I know
who... Which is why I am falling in love every 5 weeks.
The person I knew who was worst about it was Brandy Gatsby. After like 10 seconds, she would always have to like look away. Her eyes would drift off to the corner of the room.
10 seconds
no
is a
matter,
long
no
time.
Matter what. No matter what, during discussion, it's like, boop. So I just fucking look at me. Okay. Look to the side. Always. No matter what. But
were you wearing a piece of the TARDIS? Sorry, that's it.
She can't.
Sorry.
But I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I have a story that I've been sitting on for a little while. But I feel like today, since we're talking about it's Virgil Flavor Wednesday, so we're talking about Dorkly's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drunk. Dorkly's 22nd ranked game.
21st. Yes.
Pokemon snaps.
Which is, of course, a game all about Pokemon
putting pants,
telling yo mama jokes at one another.
Putting pants on Pikachu that are all button-ups.
I'm going to translate that from dad to regular speak. Pokemon Snap. Because that is how my dad would pronounce this game. Pokemon Snap.
That's how my dad would pronounce it. We've theorized we might be brothers. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
But me, you, and Josh Dance of Uniracers fame, like we might all have the same triune father. So.
I feel like when we were born, they were giving out manuals to fathers, and they were like, "Here you go. This is how you do it. Like you get to choose. Like, there's three manuals. Like which one do you want?
Yeah.
I guess like the weirdly strict kind of religious manual. That one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty perfect. Pretty fucking perfect. All right, but I'm your beardless host, Tyler, and...
You are drunk.
Everybody, host, Tyler.
You're all pretty swimmy. You're all pretty swimmy.
Oh, I thought you were goofing.
Dave, no.
Dave is going to QB this episode.
Yesterday. I drank pure grain alcohol before we go see Age of Ultron yesterday.
Oh, my God.
And yesterday was nothing compared to, like, right now.
Oh, Jesus. I'm kind of jealous because I'm stone sober.
Hey, man, bottle's right here.
No, I feel like I take a sip of that.
I'm sure Red Bull and pure grain alcohol, nothing bad's going to happen.
No, you'll be
nothing
fine.
Bad's going to happen.
You'll be fine.
All right, but I am your bearded host, Tyler. And I have a story about a strange instance with a random hookup.
Oh, okay.
But before I get into that, I want to talk about squirting first.
All right.
Everybody at this table touched their face when I said squirting. That was pretty weird.
Okay, let's go around the table and say why. Did anyone say emergency edit on day of release? Because that was my answer.
Okay, so the phenomenon that is known as squirting, is this something anybody else has like had? Of course, you've seen it on pornography, but has anybody had actual experience with squirting?
I squirt.
Nicole, your opinion matters the most right here.
You say, of course you have seen it in pornography, but that does not apply to me. I have never seen it. I am familiar with the concept, but I have never seen it in person or in porn.
All right, pause it. We're going to watch about 10 minutes of pornography to enlighten Nicole.
We don't have to pause for that.
No, I'm familiar with the concept.
But is it something that you have ever done?
No.
No.
I have never seen it in person.
Do you think it's real?
It is.
I think that it happens. What exactly happens? Like, what exactly comes out?
Well, yeah, what comes out?
It's up for debate because I've read that going back and forth, like some researchers.
Is it pee?
They'll say that it's pee, and then other will say that it's different than pee. And then anecdotally, there's people on the internet who are like, well, I collected mine and smelled it, and it didn't smell like pee.
Like the vaginal, is it vaginal lubricant? Is that what it is? Like conservative vaginal lubricant? Because surely that's not pee.
Are you guys ready to talk about this children's game?
That's why I feel like it's pretty good we talk about this now. Jacob, you are Tadpog's oral Houdini. So you tell us about squirting.
Thank you. Honestly, it's oh man.
Did you not expect this?
No. It's only been something that that has happened to me a couple of times, only a couple of times.
So you've actually witnessed this event.
Yeah.
And caused this event.
Yeah.
You've caught this event.
Yeah.
You have full faced this event.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So it's legit. It is a real, a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it different? Is it very different? Is it like pee or is it?
I feel like the important qualities would be like the odor and the consistency.
It's, to me, it felt the same as
straight pee pee, y'all.
No. To me, it felt the same as regular lubrication.
Okay. Okay.
That is what it felt like to me. That is what it, is what I believe it is.
I read on the internet.
Is it rare? Is it a rare occurrence?
It's only happened to me a few times. So,
okay.
And
I'm going to need names of who these people are.
Okay.
So we can have them on for the Jacob York squirt call off.
This is your life episode.
Ooh, that sounds super fun.
It's going to be me, you, Dave, your dad, and then everyone
who's ever squirted on you.
Yeah. Well, and everyone that all of my sexual partners that it hasn't happened with are going to be like, what the fuck, Jacob? Why didn't you make that happen for me? It's like, honestly, I literally just think that it was because it happened a couple of times with one girl, and I think that it's just a thing that
it's like, do you
she
think it,
does.
Is it a certain series like of events that would lead up to this? Like, is it like abstinence for a certain period? Like, is it like a buildup, or is it just like
a
reaction
that
happens?
Yeah, okay. I have no idea. And who knows? And maybe there are, you know, people out there that are exceptionally skilled lovers, far more skilled than I am, that, you know, can make whoever.
No.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. But like, can make whoever do whatever they want and, you know, make their partner's vagina speak or whatever. But like, I mean, I don't know. I
see, when it comes to the face, I feel like it's almost like 50-50. Like either they love it or they don't love it. And there's like that 1% who really love it and can do this sort of thing.
Yeah. But the one that it happened with, it also happened during intercourse.
Okay.
Because there was a distinct feeling.
Oh, so they know when it's going to happen and they know when they can do it?
Yes.
Okay. Because I feel like the only experience I've really had with it is like cam girls who were like, give me $100 and I'll do it. So it must be something partially controllable, or you know it's coming.
We are, by the way, for the record, we are earning that explicit tag today. Well earned.
Yeah, we wear it. It's a badge of honor.
But that leads me into my story is when I was in high school, random hookup. But there's, when you're in high school, there are only a limited amount of places you can go to do like anything. So like my parents' house, her parents' house, or any, it's
Jacob's dad's house.
Jacob's dad's house. That only happened like three times, but it's like at this time for this random hookup, the only place we could go was Cockmaster Shake's house, who lived like across the street from the high school. His mom didn't get home until like 6 or 7 o'clock from work. So if we went over there immediately after school, we had plenty of time to do whatever. He just had to be like in the other room, like playing Game Gear while it was going on.
It's always Game Gear. When someone's getting blasted, it's always Game Gear.
I mean,
Game Boy is like just too serious.
You don't get blasted to Game Boy. You gotta get blasted to Game Gear. So I tell him, like, I've got a chance to, you know, to hook up with this one girl. I don't have anywhere to go. Can we go to your house? He's like, okay, fine. So we go to his house, and I'm with this girl, and the only place we could go is his mom's bedroom. So we're in his mom's bedroom on his mom's bed, and we're going at it. I'm giving face at this point. And we'd actually talked considerably a lot about squirting and things like that prior. So while I'm doing this, and she's into it, she's about to go, her hands are gripping the blanket, you know, I'm happy because I know I'm about to get her there, and then suddenly, like, there's this squirt. And I think, like, oh, shit, I just made her squirt. Awesome. But I assume squirting, like, is, like, 1 or 2 seconds, and then it's done. But this doesn't stop. It keeps going until, like, I'm just sitting there and just, like, sump. All right, so my mouth is full, and sump is not right. So, like, I lean back, and I'm like, is everything okay? And she immediately breaks down into tears because it was not what we would what Jacob has stated as a very different material. It was very much what you'd think it would be. So, like, it is on me.
It's. Are you saying it's pee?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Are you saying she peed on you?
She beat on you, or...
For the record, the amount of stories that you have told about your hookups that end with, or not even end with, but somewhere in the middle have the girl crying is way too high.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
That's a lot.
It's like, I guess there are really two points. The one where the girl was sad about her ex because I was similar, and this one where she was thoroughly embarrassed.
Oh, shit, I just peed in a guy.
Yeah. No. And all over Shake's mother's bed. Like, there's, like, no, like, hiding this.
Do they have a dog or anything?
No. She's crying and she's upset.
Yeah.
So I go to the bathroom and, like, spit it out.
Finish myself.
Brush my teeth.
What a rude lady.
She's upset. She doesn't know what to do. So, like, I immediately grab the hair dryer and just, like, hopefully we just dry this out. So
grab the hair dryer and throw it in her pee puddle, and she electrocutes and dies.
So I did that until, like, it was fine, and then we left. And, like, I didn't tell Shake until, like, 10 years later that, like, yeah, there might have been, like, pee-pee on your mom's best friend.
What was his reaction?
Are you serious? I was like, yeah. Did she say anything? No. Okay, then we're good.
What would have been great is if she'd have been like, I know what happened. Like, she Sherlocked it out.
So that was what went from, like, a high sexual accomplishment to just crushing defeat within moments.
I mean, you've got a great story to tell on a podcast about Pokemon Snap.
That's true.
What's up, guys? I am not going next. I am not. What if you goes next? I'm not doing it. I was going to tell a heartwarming story about playing Pokemon with my cousin.
That's awesome.
Can't do it now. He never, as far as I know, he never squirted.
He did.
He did totally pee in the bed one night when I was staying over at his house and we were in the same bed.
Kevin McAllister, Jew.
That's an awesome feeling of like waking up like with the feeling that the bed had been peed in hours ago, where it's like you just feel like it's like there's it just feels like you I woke up feeling like really sweaty. like really sweaty and smelling like spoiled soup.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
I mean, he didn't mean it. You know, he's a kid.
But yeah. It's still like, whoa.
Or if he did mean it.
Even worse. Far worse.
Only because I'm a family member.
He's like, it's safe. It's safe because he's a family member.
What's up, Internet? I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and I'll use that as my story. Every time I think about Pokemon, I think about him because, man, he was into it. Yeah. Like, he was the right age at the right time, like, into the cards.
Yeah.
And I remember scoffing and being like, Pokemon shit is bullshit. Magic the Gathering is what adults play.
I will go off of yours, Dave. Just a
what you don't want to you don't want to go off.
Go off of mine, Jacob.
Of Tyler's.
He did. He gave a good premise to mine.
Jesus.
That is true.
I certainly added to it.
You answered honestly.
Jacob
about
York of oral Houdini fame is what we go with now.
So does your dad listen to every episode now, or
he
pretty much
to a lot
just,
of them?
Yeah. Okay.
If I'm on one, he listens to it. I like to think he'd be proud of me.
I would hope.
Tim, you know, if you're proud, call in and let us know.
That I'm a conscientious and skilled lover.
Yeah. He clearly chose one of the other three manuals when you were born.
Well, you know, I was I was at a gathering with a bunch of my friends, and, you know, a lot of them have had kids at this point. They were talking about, like, still having the desire to, like, continue to be, like, a cool dad. And were your parents cool parents at any point? And I was talking about, like, my dad had a good long run of being cool. For a really long time, Dad was cool. Like, Dad, you know, Dad bought the Pearl Jam album because he wanted to listen to the Pearl Jam album. Dad bought, you know, Snoop Dogg. Dad was the first person that I knew who was on Napster. But the reason that Dad was on Napster is because he was on MIRC, like, already, like, getting albums and stuff from that. Like, Dad's been ahead of the curve.
He sounds elite.
Yeah.
He sounds elite.
For a super long time, Dad knew what leechers and cedars and shit like that
was. It's not like your dad is like buddy dad. Like, no. He's still like a father dad.
He's a dad.
Yeah.
But like,
I want to know. This is really important, yeah. So I had to interrupt. I want to know his IRC handle. Like, I got to know it.
I can't.
If you don't know it off the top of your head, please ask him.
I know it off the top of my head, and I will tell you off because he still uses it for some stuff.
Okay. Fair. Okay.
And then it's just like one day everything switched and it was like, hey, Dad, like I would play a song for him and be like, hey, dude, I think that you might like this. And he'll listen to it and he'll be like, yeah, I think it's okay. Are you listening to anything now? No, I pretty much just like the silence. And it's like, all right, well.
Dad, listen to the streets. No, yeah. I like the silence. I like the quiet.
You had a good long run as a cool guy, Dad. Dad, like, worked out and, like, lifted weights and ran when I was a kid. And, like, it made me want to work out and stuff like that. But, like, he is definitively, like, a granddad now. Big time. So, yeah. Which
still pretty good. To last until granddadhood is pretty good.
Well,
it's pretty exceptional.
Yeah, I will say that. He was probably cool up until Daryl was born, which was like 9 years ago about. So, yeah. But
that's a damn good run.
Yeah.
That's a damn, especially in as big of a transitional period of the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah.
That's a damn good run.
Great run for an old guy. And he's still a great guy. Still great. He listens to fucking Tad.
Listens to the podcast. Yeah. You know. And calls in.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't even remember my story anymore. So now I'll use that as my story. Yeah, I knew I was going to use
you're
that
use as a jump off,
but I don't remember what it was. So there. Nicole, do you have anything to say besides that you're in love with me now?
I do want to point out that while Tyler was telling his urination story, Jacob and Nicole were looking each other in the eyes for that entire story.
And that made it weird.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great watching your face, Nicole, because you were like, I could tell that you didn't want to look away, but at the same time, your expression was
changing.
Telling the world that you were not cool with what was happening.
Nicole is generally very stoic, but when she breaks that stoicism, it's pretty good. It's pretty good, yeah. Nicole faces that happen.
I do feel like we should at least answer one phase of these questions as a maybe like a bonus or something like that.
I'd love
that.
To do the whole thing. Yeah. Like if we're done recording this and like anyone here is down to do it, I'll do the whole
thing. It's 36 questions, so that's a lot. That is a lot, I will say. So we might want to, you know, only pick like the first 12 or something, but hey, we'll see. But we'll do it.
We'll make the 4-hour Pokemon Snap episode. Not a big deal.
We talk Pokemon Snap for about 30 minutes.
But we're not scared.
Yeah. Let's talk about Pokemon Snap.
But Nicole, anything? Get any intro stories?
No, I don't think so.
No squirting stories.
No pee stories.
No.
That time you peed on Josh, you don't want to talk about that?
That didn't happen.
I'm pretty sure that happened.
Didn't happen. I did,
Jacob's eyes got wide in such a hopeful manner.
Well, no. Whenever I was in the third grade, I peed my pants in front of the entire class.
What was the setup there?
Okay, we were playing
pee your pants.
Like heads up 7-Up or some kind of game.
Yeah,
like that.
Heads up 7-Up.
And I was the person in the front who was like picking people.
Uh-huh.
I don't really remember how that game works, but
you know what the kryptonite of heads up 7-Up was?
Sprite. Wait,
in my day, no, swish pants.
Ah.
They were popular, and they always did give away in Heads Up 7-Up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, I was the person in the front of the class doing something, and if I had to leave to go to the bathroom, I would have lost my spot, and I didn't want to do that. So I just held it and thought I was good. I was like, yep, I'm good. I can keep holding this, and eventually I just couldn't keep holding it, and yep.
You have a strong spirit of competition inside you.
I've never peed my pants. I have pooped my pants accidentally, but I don't think I've ever, since I was a baby, peed my pants.
Hmm.
You hear that, Dave?
I honestly don't recall for me. I honestly don't know.
I hear like a swishing, sloshing sound.
And weeping. There's weeping behind that, too.
Could that possibly be the Dave Reads from Wikipedia train?
Yeah, it is.
What does that sound like? Swishing, swashing, weeping train sound like?
I'm sorry.
There's a hair dryer in there, too. Okay, guys, give me a minute to look up Pokemon Snap.
Or we just have Nicole describe it, because she is the big fan of this game.
Would you like to do the honors for this episode? And do
you can't break tradition.
Nicole reads from
Wikipedia. That's Nicole reads from Wikipedia. You have to That's read different.
It. Nicole paraphrases from memory.
I'm with Nicole on this.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean that's
I
feel like that's like sacrilege. Like what? Okay. You have to read it.
All right. That was a test. You both passed. Okay, guys.
Give it to me.
Pokemon Snap. Or as it's known in Japan, Pokemon Sunapu is a first-person rail shooter and simulation video game co-developed by HAL Laboratory and Pat's...
Earthbound.
Yeah, those dogs with those eggs. What's up with that? That wiener dog with the three eggs. It's pretty much one of the best logos. Mm-mm. And PAX Sofnica and published by Nintendo for the Nintendo 64 video game console. It was first released in Japan on March 21st, 1999. Maybe that's why Nikki set March 21st as our wedding date. Pokemon Snap.
Probably.
Japan release.
I'd like to think so.
It was later released on June 30th, 1999 in North America and September 15th, 2000 in PAL regions. For the record, Tyler just left. Just in case anyone doesn't hear from him the next few minutes, he just got up and left.
I was really hoping that we would see how long it would go before we let the audience know that.
Oh, sorry. And see if we could, sorry, I spoiled
totally
that.
Pull it off.
It is a spin-off game of the Pokemon series, being one of the first console-based games for it, and features many Pokemon rendered for the first time in real-time 3D, y'all. The game was re-released for the Wii's Virtual Console in 2007. It was originally announced as a Nintendo 64 DD title. Development was moved to the N64 due to the 64 DD's poor sales. I don't even know what that is. Anyone heard of the Nintendo 64 Double D?
The disk drive? Yeah.
That's what they mean, disk drive. So it's not just the N64 with the well-endowed rack.
That's what I look for in my video game systems.
Sorry, Jacob.
My wives and my video game systems.
We can't have a fucking podcast anymore without talking about my Tifa N64. The Tifa,
yeah.
If you could turn anything into a Super Nintendo. The dust under my bed.
What the fuck?
I want Cockmaster Shake on for the 36 questions or whatever. I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah. It's too, like, but that's the thing. It's like my brain just doesn't work the way that guy's does.
No one does. Like, no one's does. It is a unique device.
It's such a weird, obvious answer that, like, the dust under my bed, because I don't use the dust under my bed. Fuck, yeah, you're right, I guess.
You gotta give it a purpose. Why not turn it into a Super Nintendo?
All right.
The bedspread with a dry yellow stain on it. I guess I'll turn that into an SNES.
Because I told that story to Dave, to you and Taryn, or Princess Consuela Banana Hammock, Taryn Landon, and she was like, please tell that as an intro story. So I go, well, wait till I have like a few ounces of Everclear mixed with some orange water.
Check.
Pokemon Snap. So who played this as a kid?
Well, I certainly didn't.
I did not.
Me either.
I did.
What were your opinions of it?
I love this game.
Yeah?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's really good.
What makes it
really
good? All
right, shut it down.
We're done.
We did it, you guys.
Anyone got any more squirting stories we can use to fill time?
Thanks, Internet.
The Nicole Nance seal of approval for everything. Like, why do you love Josh? He's good. It's all right. Send him out. We good.
Done.
I don't know. I have a hard time putting into words what I like about video games.
Do you like the Pokemon series in general?
Yes.
So it's not just Snap.
No, but I don't think that the Pokemon element is necessary for me liking the game. I think I would like it if it were something else.
I get why Roller Coaster Tycoon makes sense for your personality on the surface. Pokemon Snap, on the other hand, like... I don't know why that is so fun to you.
Real quick before you answer this, can I just say Roller Toaster Tycoon?
Did I say that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think we know that'd be a better game. Yeah. The Brave Little Toaster.
The Brave Little Toaster. Roller Toaster Tycoon. I love it. So anyway, now answer that question, Nicole. Whatever it was.
I think that, I don't know. I mean, it may have something to do with the... strive for perfection to make all the pictures the best that they can be. That may be part of it.
Yeah, because you did keep going through as we were playing it. You kept taking pictures of the same Pokemon over and over again, which I would not have done. I'd be like, all right, got it. I'm good. Let's move on. But you wanted the best of the best for every Pokemon.
Nicole, are you really good at this game? Like, you're probably, would you say you're top 20 in the state of Kentucky?
I don't know how to answer that. I would say so.
Okay.
In the Pokemon Snap tournament,
out of the 20 people that play,
out of the entire state, which I'm sure there's a lot of hardcore Pokemon Snap competitors. I mean, there's probably people
they
who play the game.
Pee snappers.
There's probably people who play the game who actually take breaks to pee, which I know that you don't do.
Yeah. Too hardcore.
I would like to see you play this because I wasn't here when you were playing it. I'd like to see how you do it. I'd like to see your process.
She's t- took it very seriously.
Yeah.
Very seriously.
Because it,
she got frustrated many times when it came to, like, the secret Pokemon that you have to, like, rustle up or transform. Like, she got pretty upset when she couldn't just get, like, Gyarados, where you had to smack the...
It was difficult.
Yeah. Which, granted, that is, that was unusually difficult to get Gyarados to spawn.
This was a weird game for me because I completed it, and you're naming things that I don't know what they are. Because I don't know shit about Pokemon. So it was weird going through this game and being like, there's Pikachu, and there's a whole bunch of cartoon animals I'm taking photographs of.
Because this is so dramatically different from any other Pokemon game that there is.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a shoot shit game.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm really surprised that Nicole likes it, because I know that you don't like shoot shit games. But instead of shooting bullets at these fictional animals, you are shooting still frames at them. You have a camera. You are a transgender person in a car, a 1-0 car is what it's called.
Well, this is basically Jurassic Park, only you just have a camera.
Yeah.
It's what Jurassic Park, their ride, was meant to be.
Well, and the way that I described it, and I do think that it makes sense, is that sort of story-wise, you are... It's kind of the same thing as the Adventures of Spider-Man ride at Universal, because you are supposed to be like a photojournalist, and Professor Oak has set up on this island, has set up a series of tracks that a cart rides on. Mm-hmm. And you just go down this preset path, and as that's happening, Pokemon basically jump out in front of you or are over to the side. And so, but it's the same every time, correct?
Yes.
Like there are, you know, secret paths and
nothing
things
deviates
like that,
but every time. You can make different things happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's where it's
but it's the
time.
Same setup every time. And it's your job to take the best possible picture of them, mm-hmm. and you're judged based off of how much of a percentage the Pokemon takes up the frame.
Yeah, you got to fill that frame. Yeah. You got to fill that frame with a fat Pokemon.
Their pose.
Mm-hmm.
You get additional multipliers for technique if they're like right in the center of the frame, and also if there are additional Pokemon in the picture, you get additional points.
Which does
for that.
It has to be Pokemon of the same type.
Oh, okay.
If it's a different breed of Pokemon, it doesn't count, which I think is bullshit. I'd rather see the harmony of different types of Pokemon. Yeah.
And how they interact.
Professor Oak is like elitist, so he's like, mm-hmm. no, only the same type. Only the same type.
This is essentially House of the Dead, but much slower and with fictional animals instead of undead creatures.
I played House of the Dead. Not like a week ago at the movie theater.
Do you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pokemon Snap made you be like, I think I can beat House of the Dead.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It's a
if
rail
you're
shooter.
Like, yeah, your abilities kick in and you're like, holy shit, I am really good at rail shooters.
I think it's even more interesting because they specifically. Like the fact that you are in a vehicle on rails.
Yeah, it is literally. It is literally
a rail shooter. Yeah.
That being said, I actually thought this game was cool. I mean, everything that I've said so far makes it seem like I didn't enjoy this game. I thought this was a pretty cool game. It is a slow game. And it is very much on rails, and it's the same fucking thing every time you do a course. But there's a lot of stuff going on. There's like a lot of interesting stuff going on where it's like, I can go through a course multiple times and see something different each time. And I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of depth to it, which is something that I feel like you don't typically see in a rail shooter.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's just... A lot of times a rail shooter is also the camera is set.
Yeah.
You know, you can't move the camera around. You can't look around like you would in a first-person shooter. That's something that Snap brings to the table that I think is really interesting. And it's also by design why this game has to be as slow as it is. Because if that cart went any faster, this game would be impossible. To like look around and try to find Pokemon hanging out.
Even still, it can be frustrating at times.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. And I didn't play much of it, but I played enough of it to be like, I get what's going on here and I don't want to do it anymore. But all that being said, I still understand why it's on this list and I understand why people enjoy it. It's just not the kind of game that I personally enjoy.
Yeah, there's not really. It is, it's pretty unique. I haven't seen anything else that's really like it.
Dead Rising 1 had that really cool camera mechanic in it where it feels like it is pretty much just right from Pokemon Snap because it, you take a photograph at Frank West, I think was his name. You take a photograph and there's an algorithm that the game runs and grades you on the photograph that you took. Nicole, I was going to ask if you've played Dead Rising.
I haven't. I watched Josh play it.
You probably would like the part that everyone wanted them to take out of the game, which is taking the photographs.
Overall, like games that I've genuinely thought were like good on this list so far.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 2.
Yes.
And Pokemon Snap. Everything else I could just not have played.
And be okay with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Pokemon Snap is... It surprised me. Yeah. It surprised me as a dude who knows not much about Pokemon. I actually, when I got done playing this game, I was like, eh, maybe I should play one of those horrifically grindy RPGs that they make.
I loved it back in the day. I was all about Red, Blue, and Yellow. Man, I fucking loved Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow. So, but when I heard about this game, it made me mad. Because I was like, what, you don't fight, you don't catch Pokemon? No, 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 no. Well, they don't, there's no fighting. No, no, no. You just take pictures. No thanks. No thanks. I'm out. I'm out. How about we have a game where you can fight Pokemon like against each other? Okay, fine. We'll call that Stadium. But Snap is something different.
Do they use the same models in Stadium as they do in this game? Do you know?
They look a little bit better, but they're pretty approximate.
I was curious because this game kind of felt to me, and I don't have any. I've done no research on this, so this may be completely 100% inaccurate. But this game, playing it, knowing about Stadium, felt like they had assets that they had already developed for a fighting game because like that seems more natural to me for Pokemon because like the whole thing is like dogfighting but with fake animals.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that they would make a game like Stadium. Snap seems like such a weird departure that it seems like something where they're like
an innocent departure.
Well, it does like I don't know. Maybe this is like, but doesn't it feel so Japanese? Doesn't it feel so like culturally different from something that would succeed in America? Because it's
an innocent, an innocence,
exactly. Yeah. Like it's so relaxed, and you know, it's. You can play it if you want to play it at the top level, like you absolutely can. But in essence, it's a nice, relaxing, slow kart ride where you get to see all of these different Pokemon, you know?
You eventually get stuff, yet you got apples to throw.
No, 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 no.
Pokemon.
No.
Apple-shaped Pokemon food?
Apple-shaped Pokemon food. It is not an apple. they take this generic Pokemon kibble and shape it into an apple that you could throw at Pokemon.
And they don't really want to eat it.
Pikachu eats it.
Pikachu's the one that eats it. Everyone else is just like
everyone
pissed
else
off
is
about
like,
it.
Stop throwing apples at me.
Quit throwing shit at me. I'm Kegiscon.
I got a Bulbasaur to eat one. I'm pretty proud.
Okay.
A Bulbasaur ate one of my Pokemon apple foods.
Because basically... Every course, you have to take pictures of enough different Pokemon to either open up the next course or you do something that opens up an alternate path that then leads you into a different course.
Right, which is, again, something that's different than a regular rail shooter. Mm-hmm. There's a reason to go through the course again.
Yeah.
Which usually, like, repeating levels and stages in a game to progress really irritates me. But this game, it didn't bother me because these courses are short. The game is really short. And that is something that I don't know is... I can't decide if that's a strike against it or it goes in the good job game category.
I think it's one of its negatives. I think it falls in the con category in that it is... If you know what, sort of semi-know what you're doing, you can blow through this game pretty quickly. Like, Nicole, you took your time when we sat down and played this. Mm-hmm. And 2 hours, you were done. You weren't even trying to finish it quickly. But 2 hours, that's it.
But she's exceptional.
That's true.
She is in the top 20.
She's in the top 20 in Kentucky. Yeah. It's on special skills on her resume. Like words per minute.
Raised a barn.
Excel, Word.
Good at banking. Pokemon Snap.
Pokemon Snap, top 20 ranking in state of Kentucky.
I hope that your business card says, Nicole Nance, good at banking.
Nicole Nance saw Mew. And it's a picture of Mew. I guess, we call it a pound sign or we call it a hashtag? Because it's a different thing now.
Depends on how it's used.
Okay, yeah. So I'm not using it as a hashtag. I'm saying it's a pound sign, 151, Mew. Picture of Mew, Nicole taking a picture of it on the back of her.
Well, then it's like number sign.
Number sign.
Number sign?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a...
That's weird that we have this tic-tac-toe board, which I guess that's a fourth sign also, for it.
It's a...
So this one design has four different names depending on how you're using
it's
it.
Versatile. It's,
you know, just for English four language, lines, it's amazing.
Waffle maker, depending on if you're using it to make waffles or not.
I think this, you talking about hashtags made me think that it would be cool if this game was remade today. Maybe not for Pokemon, maybe for Pokemon, I don't know. But like it could almost have this like Instagram kind of thing like tied into it. Or it's something like augmented reality.
It's such a, it's begging to be remade for a tablet.
Like, or, Josh or was 3DS, talking about this for 3DS.
Yeah.
That like, some kind of like real world thing where you're looking through the 3DS's camera through like your woods and things like that behind your house and using it like LNR to take pictures of whatever appears.
That would be really cool. Like, especially if like the camera analyzed what you were shooting and like took in the data for color and to kind of assess your surroundings. Like if it's a lot of white, maybe there's a, I don't know, are there snow Pokemon?
Yeah.
Maybe one of those shows up, and then you can snap a photo of it.
Mankey.
Pretty good.
Mankey.
So gives you a special Steve incentive Martin. Throughout the course of the year to continue to play it, like Animal Crossing. So like all the holidays and different seasons, there's a reason to play it. So pretty good.
By the way, real quick, what's everyone's favorite Pokemon?
Man, I'm curious. So glad you asked. Because I was thinking about this when I was playing it.
Yeah.
It's a tough decision because I don't know a lot about them. But I will tell you that Eevee is really, really cute.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Eevee.
How familiar are you with Eevee?
My majestic Eevee pick?
I'm not.
Because Eevee is the most like generously mutationable.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's a malleable
Pokemon. Yeah. Genetically malleable.
Yeah.
Because basically whatever you expose Eevee to, it will change.
Interesting.
So like base brown cute dog Eevee.
Yeah.
You expose it to a Thunderstone, Jolteon. You expose it to a Waterstone, Vaporeon. There are like 6, 7, 8 different versions of Eevee that all change depending on how you treat it.
Okay.
Hmm.
Really cute. So that's why I said Eevee. But I also like that because that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And then what is the...
That's why I had to replay Blue and Red so many times so I could get all the evolutions of Eevee.
Really?
To get all 151.
You got all 151?
Yeah. And in Blue, I got all 151 because you have to... Because I also had Red. So basically, I had to restart games over and over and over and trade the different starter Pokemon to Blue and then play through long enough to get a different evolution of Eevee and send that over.
Because I know like me growing up, I would never have had someone to trade Pokemon with.
I'd own two copies of the game and have two Game Boys to do it. Yep.
There's also I think it's the Canyon course. There's like this fuchsia fox that has like, I think like four tails or something
Vulpix.
Like that. Yeah, I also like that one. So it's between Eevee and Vulpix because
I've worked with a girl at one of my previous restaurants who she had, trust me, this girl could have been a suicide girl. She was hot and just completely tatted out. And on her thigh, she had a full thigh tattoo of Ninetales, which is the evolution of Vulpix.
That makes sense.
So she was, man, that girl is hardcore into Pokemon, like next level into Pokemon.
It would be better if she just barely knew anything about Pokemon, and dedicated an eighth of her skin.
I just thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Vulpix Inc. Who? Is that the artist?
Yeah, exactly.
If we ever do a straight like Pokemon episode, I definitely want to have her on.
Great. Oh, you know her still?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because I loaned her my Retron and Illusion of Gaia. Like, she is a gamer.
Huh.
So I'd like to have her on if we ever just... The only game I know that she really plays hardcore is Pokemon.
Yeah. I don't know if I want a really attractive Suicide Girl type on the show. I feel like that might be crossing some line.
Let's save those questions. We'll have to do the test.
Tyrone, who's your favorite Pokemon?
Man, that's so fucking hard. I feel like the Pokemon that is most me, or what most people will see me as...
Man, you've thought about this. I love it.
I have thought about this. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people, Snorlax is one. when I'm at my heaviest, people are like, man, fucking Snorlax. Because you're big and you're jolly, and you sleep, you're Snorlax. I feel like me, when I'm still like bulkier, but like lifting a lot of weights, Tyranitar. So Snorlax, Tyranitar.
Tyranitar.
I also love Hitmontop.
Yeah, you do.
That's me. Actually, when I was playing through Blue, like my main team, I used, of course, Mewtwo, but Mewtwo's awesome, but not my favorite. I use Snorlax. I use Dragonite a lot. I love Dragonite.
He looks really goofy.
He looks a little goofy.
Because I took his photograph in this game, and he looked like a laughable monster.
For a super, for a very powerful Pokemon, he looks pretty goofy.
Because, I mean, he is really big.
Mm-hmm.
I threw some apples down a whirlpool, and that motherfucker popped out. And I was like, whoa.
Even Professor Oak is like, pose. Oh, it's Dragonite. 2,000 points. So,
he looks like Orange Barney.
Because there are like 600 fucking Pokemon now. My experience goes to like 200-something.
Yeah,
I stopped playing Pokemon at like Gold and Silver.
Are there any extinct Pokemon? Like, are there any on like the government protected list? Like,
Mew is the super rare one.
Okay,
because Mew you can get in Red and Blue if you get it through cheating, and you can get it. You can kind of hack the game a little bit, like without needing like a game genie. You can make it spawn, but Mew is like the really rare Pokemon.
Those are the only two ways to get it.
Yeah.
So there,
or like special Pokemon events in like Japan or America, you can go and they'll give it out.
Okay.
Like, there are a few Pokemon, like, if you want them legally, you have to go to Pokemon-sanctioned events where they will give it to you.
Interesting.
So, like, I think for a while, Celebi maybe was one of that, the time Pokemon. I might be wrong there. Pokemon has spiraled far beyond anything I know anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, Pokemon's a young man's game nowadays. I don't go into
that's
that.
That's what I was going to ask, like... I
mean, all these young Pokemon gunslingers.
Do kids play Pokemon now?
Like, I remember at the cabin, like Pokemon White and Black, I believe, had just come out. Josh Nance went to the cabin, did not see him for 4 days. He just retreated to the back of the cabin and just played Pokemon the entire time. did not see him or spend any time with them.
Wow.
Like, him and Kyle and some other people just, like, hold themselves off in different portions of the cabin and just played Pokemon, seeing who could beat the Elite Four the quickest.
I like that they weren't even in the same part of the cabin.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't even, like Pokemon.
They're just taking up room.
Exactly. They could not interact with each other. They were rivals trying to get to the Elite Four.
Nicole, who's your favorite Pokemon?
My favorite Pokemon is Bulbasaur, just because that's the one I always pick to start.
All right.
So, see, I was a Charmander man. Charmander man.
Good one.
Yeah.
I like how Bulbasaur dances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cute.
Bulbasaur is very cute.
Jacob, I know you were worried no one was going to ask you because you asked the question. Who is your favorite Pokemon?
Duh, bro.
Squirtle. Yeah, I know it is.
Because of the story?
No, because but I didn't think that.
No, 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 it is. But it is.
I did think that had a nice callback, but Squirtle has always been my favorite.
It does explain the Squirtle tattoo on your face.
That's, you know.
On your tongue, the Squirtle tattoo you got.
One of my exes, we would nickname each other genitalia, and my nickname for hers was Jigglypuff, which is another Pokemon. I remember telling it to Jacob. Jacob was like, why would you not name it like Squirtle or Crabby or something that made sense?
Jacob was a big fan of your girlfriend, I take it. Or I don't know.
In my opinion. In my opinion,
Geodude.
She was more wiggly tough.
That's what we would call it when she was on her period.
Oh.
Wiggly tough.
Oh, all right. Well,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. I mean, I like how that won you over. I mean,
what are we gonna do?
Like, oh, well, you know, there's less elegant ways.
We were not a happy couple.
I feel like Mew would have been a good one. Like that's Mew, like, yeah.
That's a name.
And then
that's
like
the sound that it made.
Well, then when you go to your next girlfriend, it's Mewtwo. Did they stop at Mewtwo, or is it like Star Wars movies where there's like Mew 7?
To my knowledge, like Mewtwo, though his Generation 1, is still one of the more powerful Pokemon in the entire series.
How does this shit work? I feel like this is probably not like a great question to ask on Snap, but I really want to know. Okay, all those Pokemans that you collected in Blue, can you access those on like your 3DS somehow? Like through some like weird fucking voodoo?
It's difficult to do, but you can transfer Generation 1 Pokemon to... Actually, the girl I worked with, I asked her this question and she explained the whole process to me. You can do it. It's difficult. You have to have a lot of like obsolete technology at this point, but you can eventually trade them up to current day games.
So you like kind of like leapfrog from like you have to use the old system and then the not so old system.
You have to use like a Game Boy and a link cable to SP to something else to something else.
Yeah, I think in theory the hope is that you've been doing it this whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you were just going to start at Blue today, then it would be
it's hard.
A huge pain in your ass.
We can do it. If you want to go that route, like... A mutual friend of ours gave us, we have over there on our shelf, he gave us a original Pokemon Blue.
In the
card,
box.
Card in box complete. Pokemon Blue, Pokemon Silver, Pokemon Emerald, and Pokemon Stadium 2. We can fucking trade up through the era if we wanted to.
I'm not going
to
lie, it is kind of appealing to me. However, I was thinking about this when I was playing Snap. I was like, man, it would be kind of cool to like start from the fucking beginning here in 2015, start from the very fucking beginning and trade up. But my only problem
that could be
I
a podcast in and of itself if we decided to do that.
My only problem with it is I don't want to delete his save file because like these games only have one save file, right? That's my only
also
problem.
Also my gripe about Snap. It is ridiculous you can only have one profile in Snap. Because if you want to show it to somebody else, you need to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
But you can't. There's only one. And for an N64 game, that's stupid.
I agree.
Should be able to have at least three. At least three save files.
I'm glad you brought it back to Snap because probably should talk more about Snap. I kind of took that off on a weird like general Pokemon. But I'm actually curious about it.
I don't have anything else to say about Snap.
That's it.
The one thing that's interesting about Snap to me that in every level there are tons of hidden Pokemon. That, like, as you progress through the game, you'll get items. Like, you get the food-shaped apple, then you get the pester ball, which expels, like, gas, which just bother Pokemon. They're just bothered by it. And the Poke Flute, which is an item in the first Pokemon that what you need the Poke Flute to wake up Snorlax because he's blocking your path in Red and Blue. So you get that item, and that makes Pokemon react differently. So, like, if you see a Pikachu and you play the Poke Flute, it'll cast Thunder.
Okay.
So you can use that in various ways to make other rare Pokemon spawn so you can get their picture.
Because all the Pokemon have this standard pose that they do based on what they are. And the flute changes that pose.
Yeah.
And I think you can play like two songs with the flute. And some of the Pokemon will have three poses. And it just depends on what song you're playing on the flute. Because there's one... it's that mushroom that you have to move. It's got like a toxic cloud coming out of it. It's like Death Plume or something like that. It's not Death Plume.
Vile Plume.
Thank you. Like he does this thing where if you play the flute, he does this like side to side mushroom dance. And if you play it again, he just starts like doing crazy backflips. So I thought that was cool that they like took the time to, they could have stopped at one. They could have just been like, here's the alternate pose that he does.
Because like in the very first track, you come across like this brown striped egg. And you can throw apples at it, you throw pester balls at it, nothing works.
That fucking thing bothered me.
But what you have to do is the polka flute to get it, lure a Pikachu over close to it, play the polka flute to make it cast thunder, and then that makes the egg hatch and makes Zapdos, which is one of the three legendary birds, pop out, and then that changes the course of that whole level. That unlocks so many other secrets that you can then get like this sign and other Pokemon, and it has an interesting amount of depth to finding more rare Pokemon in levels that you've been done with for six or seven levels by by the time you get the Pokeflute on like the last level.
Right.
But you can go back to the first one and get more Pokemon you didn't know were there.
It definitely seems like something that rewards patience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was my problem with it, is that I just didn't, it didn't grab me, so I didn't want to be patient with it. You know?
You can eventually make the cart go faster if that makes you feel any better. I think that's a cool mechanic, because the designer realizes, okay, in order to get to this point in the game, the player has gone through these courses probably three or four times each.
And there's one thing you're looking for in this level.
Right.
So why have to play through the entire thing?
I love that. That is a brilliant courtesy, which is one of the factors that keeps me on the fence about the game's length. Because this game could easily be longer if that item wasn't introduced.
But but it's like asking, you know, if you want five more years of your life, and it's like, but like, what? Where do I get those 5 years? Do I get those 5 years at the end of my life when everything is shitty?
Right.
Or do I get those 5 years in the middle of my life when things are still good?
Well, things are still kind of pretty shitty, but I mean, not as shitty.
I mean, Nicole, you took your time playing this game.
Yeah.
And like 2 hours, and you were still able to leisurely go through basically every last bit of the game. Yeah. We didn't really miss many Pokemon.
Yeah. No, I think that it could have been a little longer, but I wouldn't have wanted it to be much longer.
Yeah, it's like, would it be worth it to add an hour of gameplay if that hour of gameplay was you tapping your foot waiting for the cart to get to a certain spot?
I would have liked to be able to photograph all 151 Pokemon.
Are they not all in the game?
No, they're not.
Oh. Hmm.
How many are in there? Because like, I know there's that album that keeps track of how many Pokemon you've photographed. I didn't look at that fucking thing once.
Not nearly enough. Like, maybe 60 Pokemon.
Yeah, really, that's the number I was thinking game. Too.
Yeah.
They look good. I mean, I feel like all the Pokemon looked good. Mm-hmm. Like, they were all interesting. I mean, one thing I loved about this game, and this goes back to the different poses that they just did, just for, as far as I can tell, shits and giggles, is this game had a lot of polish for an N64 game. This might so far be the N64 game. This is at the top of my list of most polished N64 game that I've seen so far.
Can you imagine how, if for some reason Pokemon came out, the first Pokemon came out last year, can you imagine what it would have done? Because it's, you know, I look at this game and I think about like what this game I really feel is missing is integration with the other games. That performing well in Pokemon Snap somehow helps you in Stadium and in connecting all of these different things.
See, they do good in that in every other iteration, because you can bring your Pokemon. I have the expansion for the N64 where you can plug in Red, Blue, and Yellow into the N64 and so import your Pokemon into Stadium and use them. They do an amazing job about that, but Snap does seem like it's separate and different and doesn't matter.
Does anyone know anything about the kid that is the main character in this game?
You mean Cobb?
Or
Cobb or Nicole. Yeah. We've seen it go both ways.
I named him Negacole because I deleted Nicole's save in order to play. does he exist in Pokemon lore, or is it
technically
just
no one in the Pokemon lore really exists, because there's Red, Blue, which are your default names in Red and Blue. And then there's Ash Ketchum, who's from the anime.
Right.
Who you think is Red and Blue, but is canonically not.
Huh.
So it's kind of weird.
Okay. Interesting. I'm just curious because this kid has a very distinct look.
You see, he looks more like Gary Oak, who is Professor Oak's grandson, who is your rival in Red and Blue.
Huh. Professor Oak looks pretty good for a granddad.
Yeah.
He's a granddad.
Yep.
He's keeping good care of himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would have pegged him for, I don't know, early 30s.
Professor Oak might be a demon of some sort. No. I don't know for sure.
Well, then for a demon, he looks still great.
Yeah. Keeping his horns in check. I mean, yeah, he's good.
And there's a little, and he talks in this.
Yeah.
Which is probably the first time that you hear.
Outside of the cartoon, yeah. It is the first time. Because they didn't, I still like feel Nintendo is missing out on like a major console. Man, if they did a Wii U release of a 3D open world battle across the internet Pokemon, they would fucking clean up, but they won't do it. They keep it locked into handheld, which I understand, but that, man, Nintendo's handheld market, they're good. Don't fucking worry about the 3DS. It's good. Fucking pump up the Wii U because it's struggling. Do something with it.
See, I disagree.
Yeah.
And it probably is because I don't own a Wii U. My philosophy is cut the Wii U. Just don't even fuck with it. Enhance what you do well. And right now and forever, I think that's going to be your handheld.
I mean, because what rumor is, they're just going strictly mobile in the future. So I get that in Japan, because Japan is like, they're years ahead of us in mobile technology and mobile integration. So I get that from Japan's perspective.
Yeah.
But from America, I feel like we're still, console integration is important in America still, because we don't, it's not, you can't walk up to a vending machine, wave your cell phone in front of it and get a Coke in America like you can in Japan. Like everything is so integrated into their mobile.
Yeah.
We're just not there yet, which sucks for a Japanese-based company to be used to that. And then like, no, the American market is much bigger and much, there's so much more money, but you have to go back like 5 years.
I mean, what are you going to do? I didn't hear the rumor that they were going. I mean, I knew they were developing mobile, but I hadn't heard that they were really putting a heavy emphasis on it.
Yeah, because I've read articles about like Mario being released for the next system of like mobile phones.
Yeah.
Which I think is a mistake, but whatever.
I think I would have so many problems. I just need a button for Mario. I need buttons.
Yeah,
like it's like trying to play like a responsive platformer on my iPhone does not work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't.
Turn-based RPG is about as good as it gets on my phone.
Yeah, but like, you know, something like Mario, I feel like you need that tactile feedback.
Yep,
it's like playing Mario. Remember the Mario like. Watches you used to play and trying to play the original Mario on your watch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It feels like that because it's not there yet. Yeah. It's still like, it's a fucking phone. It's not a gaming device meant for that. And you're having to dumb down your technology to fit the mass market as opposed to the consumer who loves the games to begin with.
I think the Wii
helped and harmed us in that way in opening up the casual gaming market.
I think, Jacob, you nailed it for me. It's the tactile disconnect.
Yeah.
That's why I can't. That's why I enjoy mobile games, but the mobile games that I enjoy are specifically designed for mobile.
Yes. Something like Plants vs. Zombies is that I don't need, because I mishit something in Plants vs. Zombies constantly.
Yeah.
But if you mishit something constantly in Mario, that's a beyond frustrating experience.
Yeah.
Because that's the difference between a lost life and not.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I know that I'm a grown up. Because I yearn for the fanny pack to be acceptable. Because like today, like if the fanny pack was cool, like it'd be so helpful to have like that fanny pack. Like, so you have your phone and you have your 3DS and you have your Vita, and you have your wallet, and you have your keys. It's so convenient.
Bro, you're a dad.
I see why Fanny... That's true.
Just start wearing fucking cargo shorts.
That's what I was about to say. I
don't have to work out. I can accept my dad body for what it is and just roll forward.
Yeah. Dude, I went like 2 decades without wearing cargo shorts, and then all of a sudden it was like, I'm going to wear cargo shorts because I want to put a whole bunch of shit in my pants.
Yep.
That's what I don't, that is the difference between Jacob and I. Like, Jacob, you just want like one device in your pocket and roll with it. Like, I don't mind carrying my 3DS around, but.
Oh, I hate it. I do it, but I hate it.
Well, and I hate it. And even now, so much of what I do is I will pack my laptop bag and I'll put my laptop in and I'll put my Kindle in it and stuff like that. But, even still, it feels like a hassle to open, even if it's just opening another piece of technology. And it also feels something like if I'm on my phone, in theory, I could be a moment away from working, you know. But if I'm on a 3DS, I'm definitively not working. If I'm on my Kindle, I'm definitively not working, you know, stuff like that.
So, okay, the last job that I had, whenever I was on break, I would always, in the break room, pull up my Vita and spend 20, 30 minutes playing my Vita. Would you guys do that at your jobs, like on break, not a big deal? How would you feel about pulling out a device exclusively? Like, if you pull out your phone, like, people play phone games all the time. That's sure. not like that's not something that's blacklisted. You know, people aren't going to think anything if you're
right.
playing Candy Crush or whatever on your phone. But pulling out the 3DS or a Vita, would you do that? Have you done that? How do you feel about that?
I will say my situation is very different because I do not work in a typical space.
Well,
like I bought The World Ends With You because I was in a show where I had a lot of downtime backstage and wanted something to play during that time.
So and you didn't feel any shame like
no.
pulling it out and playing The World Ends With You?
No, not at all.
But like, all right.
Because I never Dave missed
and
an
Nicole,
entrance.
Who have very professional jobs, how do you guys feel about that?
I think Nicole definitely has a more professional job than I do. I bring my 3DS to work and I don't play it at my desk, but I don't have a problem playing it like in a designated break area.
But your phone at your desk, you probably don't feel weird about playing your phone at your desk.
I don't play on my phone. I mean, I'll text, but I don't play. Like, I wouldn't sit at my desk and play a mobile game on my phone.
Okay.
Just because I think that, like, sends out a bad message. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I think it's one thing to, like, pick up my phone, send a text message, and set it down. I think it sends an entirely different message for me to be, you know, hunched over, phone horizontal, my, you know, my brow sweating. But I mean, I don't have a problem doing it on the toilet, so that's where I do that.
Okay.
I typically spend my lunch breaks talking with my boss about board games like Arkham Horror and Warhammer and Magic the Gathering. So I think that I would be pretty comfortable with
You're
that.
You're familiar with one of those three, so I feel like we need to play some more Magic.
I'm pretty familiar with Magic.
Are you? I know Josh has taught you how to play, but I've never played a game of Magic with you.
All right, you guys need to have a game of Magic right now.
Right now.
Okay.
I've got 20 decks over there in that Wii bag behind you.
All right, we're going to play a game of Magic. Jacob, you and I are commentators.
I like playing with the dual decks because only the thing balance that I would do. Makes it a better game.
I agree.
Ooh, okay. Looks like Tyler's bringing a strong blue game today, Jacob.
And I played Magic.
That is the color I prefer if we're talking Magic.
Nicole.
I love a good blue deck.
It's very good. With the dual decks,
I can see where you would enjoy a blue deck more than anything else.
I like
or a black.
Black.
Yeah. Nicole loves black
and
decks.
I played Magic before I met Josh too. So
I didn't know that.
Yes,
okay.
You did.
How much?
I played it in high school, so I played it for a while before I met Josh.
Okay. Against like one person. Like, did you have one friend who was into Magic and you play against each other?
There was like a small group of people.
Okay. Because I remember, like, the only person I knew in high school that was, like, crazy into Magic was Cockmaster Shake, who would go to Books a Million and play Magic against people.
My boss has a daughter currently, who's in high school at Marshall County, and they now have a
she's
Magic
more
club
into white
at Marshall
decks.
County High School.
See, why couldn't they have had a Magic club when I was in high school? I joined FBLA because they had donuts. Because once a month, the first period class would have like your club meetings.
Something
FBLA
about
had donuts.
Tapping mana.
Because Jacob, you refuse to play Magic, right? You don't want to get sucked in that rabbit hole.
I don't want to get sucked into that rabbit hole. But also, it's just
You have an image to maintain.
Yeah, obviously. I have an image to maintain. I make girls squirt. This is the life that I see.
Wait a minute, Jacob.
I made a girl squirt.
I appreciate you eating me out, but I need to ask you something before I squirt all over your face. Have you ever played Magic the Gathering?
Man, I hate that phrase so much. Eating you out. Oh, fuck. I hate that. Oh, I hate it so much.
Sorry, I made your skin crawl.
It's okay. I'm sure I've done it to you a few times this episode.
Nah.
But man, eating you out, I don't like it. I hate it. How was that sexy? Girl, I want to eat you out.
Let me rephrase it then. Jacob, I know you're spooning my poon right now.
Love
but
it.
But I.
Hard. instantly.
But I need to ask you a question. Have you ever played Magic the Gathering?
No, Beppe.
Wait, are you fucking with me?
Oh.
All right, well, I'll just go ahead and squirt then, I guess. But if I find out. If I find out you're lying,
it's acid.
I held out on Magic for so long, because I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not good at deck building, is what, you know, and that's the entirety of it. And I don't.
It's my favorite part.
And so I just don't. I don't care. I don't want to invest the time. I don't. Because I'm the same way with Dominion. I don't like playing Dominion.
Yeah, you wouldn't if you don't like deck building.
So, you know, it's just not my bag. I'm a lot more of a I don't want my games to have a lot of pre-preparation in them, which I feel like so much of Magic is about that. Mm-hmm. So it's just never been my thing.
I understand.
But
the first time I played Magic was Spring Break 2007, 2008. And I thought it was ridiculous even when I tried to play it, because there are so many weird rules you have to get used to. Mm-hmm. But
and they change constantly. I played in high school.
Constantly, yeah.
I played heavily in high school and then stopped playing in college. And then later on, you guys discovered Magic, and I played again for a little bit, and I was amazed by how much it changed.
Really, our constant Magic players were Cockmaster Shake and Josh Nance of Uniracer's fame. They were pretty much always on that Magic train. But Pokemon Snap.
I just want to say.
Always on that Magic train, son.
My battery's in the red right now. All right. So if we were going to pick a time to wrap the show up, now probably would be pretty good.
It's actually about that time. So overall, Pokemon Snap, pretty good. I would recommend people try it because it's so different. I haven't played anything else like it since. Mm-hmm. It's a unique game and a unique experience, especially for the N64. Give it a shot.
Yeah. I'd recommend it too, even if you don't know who all these Pokemans are, because you might learn something.
Well, you might be a Pidgey fan, number one Pidgey fan.
You might learn that you love Vulpix.
And I would recommend playing it for because you'll know almost immediately if it's the kind of game that you would like or not. Mm-hmm. Don't go out and spend X amount of dollars on Amazon used to get it. But if, you know, if someone that you know has it and you're into N64 games, play it for 20 minutes and you'll know if it's for you.
Yeah. I'm an extremely analytical person. I feel like I'm very bad about making friends and breaking down those friends into alignments and classes and shit.
You're very good at it.
Shit like that that I know. The one person I have an incredibly difficult time doing that with is Nicole Nance of Kirby fame. Because
So we're going to dedicate the next hour to doing that.
True neutral, doing that, by the way.
True neutral. Well, lawful neutral, I think.
Lawful neutral.
But everything else about her, sense of humor, games that she enjoys, it's just it's a constant. She's the Ditto, to use a Pokemon reference, of my friends. My analytical skills cannot nail her down as of yet.
I'm such an enigma.
So your sense of humor is what constantly baffles me. Because you like comedy, but at the same time, what you think is funny is all over the place. I can't make a fucking pattern out of it. Because I've never seen you laugh so hard at the Log Lady on Twin Peaks.
I love the Log Lady.
But Seinfeld is just you'll sit there just fucking stone faced, this is stupid.
There's a Kenny Rogers right across the street. I don't
So I don't I can't I so far I have yet to be able to nail you down into any thing I can understand like I can with anybody else.
Maybe you shouldn't just try to categorize.
No! You don't tell me. You don't tell me what to do.
I thought this was America.
I'll break you down into base RPG stats yet.
Yeah, Josh and I were talking the other day about what class we thought each other would be, but
what did you land on?
We didn't.
No? Did it end? Did it end in an argument?
No, it was more like we can't decide. So.
So I think Josh is a true neutral urban ranger with tendencies of neutral good. Because Josh does some good stuff, but there's so much of Josh is like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about you. I don't give a fuck about me. I just don't give. Look at this bucket. It's got no fucks in it because I got none to give. I'm Josh Nance. Fuck you.
Josh can be nice, but also still be true neutral.
Yeah.
Like, because he is...
If he does... he doesn't do anything bad, ever. Yeah. Like, Josh is never out to hurt you.
He tried to get me to kill myself.
That's true. That is very true. That is so, that is the one mark in the con category.
That should be a big
for
one.
Josh Nance.
Wait, you too?
Yeah, for a weird moment, Josh Nance's goal was to convince someone to kill themselves. That's like, that is the dark timeline, Josh Nance.
True neutral Josh Nance. Yep.
How's that battery looking?
Oh, man, it is. Ooh, it's red.
Okay, all right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us
we've got beers.
Yeah, we got things
to do. We got glasses. We got Amazon.
You guys got any achievements?
I don't have any achievements.
I have achievements.
Go for it.
And I haven't talked enough on this episode, so. Ansel Adams, and you get that achievement by taking, like, 5 generic landscape pictures with no Pokemon in them. And, Jane, you dance for the man, and you get that by playing the flute for all the different Pokemon in the game. There you go.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I've got one. I kind of don't want to share it, but I have to. Mm-hmm. I have to because there's a Pokemon in this game that I laughed my ass off when I discovered. This achievement is called Unrock the Grory. And in order to unlock Unrock the Grory, you need to find a Pokemon named Porygon. There is a fucking Pokemon that is English. There is a fucking Pokemon that is English.
It's bullshit that Porygon is in this game because Porygon is a digital Pokemon. He is known to be the only digital created in the internet Pokemon.
Can you tell me, does anyone know why they did? Like, I mean, why did they decide to
that does have that? To be a mistranslation.
Barry Burton, man.
Yeah, Barry Burton.
I still think about kick. That and laugh of like the Japanese was meant Barry Burton.
Look, Barry Burton.
I think that might have been the best unique thing you have said on this podcast.
Thank you.
Barry Burton.
Barry Burton. Do you have any achievements?
I have two. One is Snapdragon, which that is getting a picture of Dragonite by throwing 4 Pester Balls into the whirlpool and making Dragonite spawn.
It's 3.
3?
Mm-hmm. Boom. Nicole's on fleek.
The other being the 3 Amigos, which is making the 3 legendary birds spawn and getting pictures of each one of those. My favorite, I neglected that earlier. Articuno might be one of my favorite Pokemon ever. I love Articuno. The only Pokemon, even in the original Red and Blue, you get a Master Ball, which is no matter what, you get one in the game. When you throw it, it immediately captures that Pokemon. Most people use it from Mewtwo. I was able to capture everything else normally using Ultra Balls, except for Articuno. I've played through Red and Blue so many different times, and I can never get Articuno unless I use a Master Ball.
So you've got the 3 Amigos. Who's El Guapo?
Probably Mewtwo. Mewtwo. The most powerful of them all.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going Kangaskhan.
Or Machamp. I also love Machamp.
Which one's Machamp?
Machamp because it's Machop, which is like the little shark flexing his bicep.
Okay, like, so this is not in Pokemon Snap that I missed.
I don't think any of them are in. Yeah, I don't think any of them are in Pokemon Snap.
Okay.
I do like Poliwhirl, Poliwag. Yeah, Poliwag, Poliwhirl, Poliwrath. Which you see, Poliwag, but you don't see his other
Poliwrath.
Poliwrath. Yeah, those are my two achievements.
Tyler.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dave.
Or actually, I'm sorry, Jacob. Do you have any achievements?
Nah, bro.
Okay. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a lot of fun talking about squirting. And well, listening.
Pollywag style.
Yeah. Talking about pollywag.
You go down a pollywag, you can't get squirted. That's a move Pokemon have called squirt.
Making you uncomfortable by saying eating out.
Yeah. Makes it sound gross.
You got to see me and Nicole fall in love.
Yeah.
And you and I have fallen in love.
Yeah, that is true.
Lots of love going on.
Yeah.
But before we close things down, I've got some important questions.
Start this fuck pile. Start this very taxing fuck pile on. Nicole's going to be very tired.
I don't know if Nicole's going to be the headliner, frankly.
Jacob's going to be very tired. As the most versatile,
thank you.
Jacob's going to be very tired.
I've got some questions for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The first of which, if you were to give this game a beard, mm-hmm. what kind of beard would it be?
Had to give this a 14-year-old peach fuzz beard.
Okay.
Which you're very proud of it. You're very proud. But it's not all that much to show off. Peach fuzz beard.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, Tyler, mm-hmm. what kind of glasses would you
have? I'd have to give this a power level scouter from Dragon Ball Z, which all kids love.
Is that the
early
single,
Dragon Ball Z? Yeah, the single like one.
Green thing?
Yeah, green glass over one eye to judge power levels.
Okay.
Which eventually becomes irrelevant. But yeah, all the kids love it. All the kids love scouters and Dragon Ball Z, early Dragon Ball Z, because it's so powerful.
I got one more question.
Okay.
And this is for everybody except for maybe Jacob, because he actually found this for me while I was asking you questions. He saw me frantically typing in the iPad like,
I was trying to save time.
I want to know how much this game is on Amazon. If you were to buy Pokemon Snap right now, used on Amazon, how much do you think you'd pay?
$14.20.
$14.20 from Tyler. Nicole, what do you think?
$23.
$23. Actual retail price for Pokemon Snap on Amazon, used at the time of this recording, is $9.99.
Ooh.
Tyler,
ooh.
You take it. I think I got it for $6 on eBay.
Pretty good.
But good. Really, neither of us win because, didn't you? You said.
Oh, he went over. So. That competitive streak in you. Tyler, that's where you can start analyzing competitive. Mm-hmm. That's your first building block. I got it too. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
It's weird. At the same time, like, you and Jacob seem very similar on a lot of levels, but at the same time, like, not at all. Because Jacob is much more forgiving than you.
Wow. That's bad.
Do you hold a grudge, Jacob?
I can hold a grudge.
Yeah.
I can hold a grudge big time.
But most begrudgeful of all my friends, though, might be you, Dave.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. I don't know who you're. I don't know who all of your friends are, but I will say that I.
Everybody in this room and Josh.
I can and will and rather enjoy and relish holding a grudge and opening that grudge every now and then and just kind of like
out.
Yeah, catch a whiff and be like, all right, close that grudge back up.
You and Cockmaster Shake. Well, Jacob to an extent, but if they suck up enough, you'll forget about it.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But I've seen Shake carry grudges for years over like forgetting to get him fries at McDonald's.
Life is too short for shit like that.
I value my grudges. I will say that.
That's it. That's the thing. Is that like a good grudge is like. It's
Jacob
like
the Italian sign for beautiful. Yeah. Like
it just gets better with age.
It's something.
Thank you for. I think I named a Pokemon, maybe.
Is that Bellissima? I chose you.
God, I do think like Bellissima or Bellissimo is a flower Pokemon.
God dang it. Let's wrap this up. I'm worried about the computer dying.
Yeah, we'll probably lose this whole thing.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. So in the next episode, we'll be talking about Ready Player One, and then after that, Kirby 64, mm-hmm. something about Seven
He's got
Stones.
A crystal sword or something.
Nicole's going to be on it. She's a Kirby expert.
Yeah, you're coming back.
And it's 64. Awesome. So we love 5-star iTunes reviews. Go on, mm-hmm. please. We got one more, not written, but one more 5-star iTunes review. Thank you, whoever you are.
Mm-hmm.
But please, if you haven't yet, or if you want to make a fake account, another secondary account, and go and give us a 5-star written iTunes review, please do that. And if there's an episode, if there's a game you want us to play or a guest you want for a certain episode, leave that in your 5-star written review, and we promise we will get to it
eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff, a book that we probably read, namely. Also, if you you know where you should go? You should probably check out
Patreon.
You should probably go to tadpog.com.
Oh.
That's where the show notes live. You can also find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Tyler will normally make an episode post. That is a good place to let us know how you feel about Tyler's alcohol level. And that's probably...
I've kept up this buzz for an hour and a half pretty effectively.
Yeah. Yeah. I am amazed. You know what else?
190 proof alcohol, bitch.
You can find us on Twitter. Jesus. At Tadpog. Jesus Christ. At Tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Hey, thanks for giving us money to hear Tyler yell bitch into the mics. You can keep
doing
that.
I love Breaking Bad, bitch.
You could give us more if you want, and we'll just buy Everclear with that and yell in the mics.
And just dissolve my marriage. just dissolve it. Some Mr. Wizard style experiment with my marriage where it just dissolves. Have you seen the Mr. Wizard where he dissolves a marriage bond?
It was the pilot episode, wasn't it?
Well, they cut it because he realized like Mr. Wizard could ruin America.
So yeah, you can go to Patreon if you want, and you could give us a dollar.
Just a dollar.
Just a dollar.
Just a dollar.
Or more if you want.
Jacob and Nicole haven't done it yet, but a dollar.
Nope.
I want to thank the latest Patreon donation we got from Zeus Laser.
Is that your real name?
I'm assuming that it is. So if you...
That was me. That's mine. That's my donation. That was me, you guys.
If your name is Zeus Laser, that's an awesome name. That is a very awesome name. So like we could call him Olympian King.
No icon.
Zeus Laser.
Right. Mm.
Olympian Lord.
Olympian Lord. There you go. Olympian Lord Zeus Laser.
Thank you for donating. We do really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
If you want to call us Zeus Laser and let us know if that's your real name.
It is.
Or if you have this amazing echoing, booming Greek voice.
Ivy King Hipster, where are you? You're eerily silent, Ivy King Hipster. Right. It's been a long time since I've heard from Ivy King Hipster.
Putting Ivy King on blast.
Ivy King Hipster on blast. It's been a long... Not since we instituted the 3 minutes have we heard from Ivy King Hipster. So if you're out there, Ivy King Hipster, reach out. Let us know.
Call us. Yeah. Even if you're not Ivy King, you can call us at 270-883-2555. Try to keep it under 3 minutes. We will probably play it on the show unless it's just god awful. Mm-hmm. Or you can text us if you want. If you don't want us to hear your lovely voice, mm-hmm. You can text us that number too, and I'll read it poorly.
Mm-hmm. Or email.
No, don't do that.
No, that's not a very reliable.
Jacob, what's your email?
It's super easy, but I'm not going to tell you.
Jacob's email at email.com. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, if you want to email Tadpog, that's Jacob's department. He will handle that shit.
All of my communiques with you guys are going to be exclusively through your Tadpog emails. You're never going to hear from me again.
Nicole's email is 69Nicole69@gmail.com.
420 blaze it.
420.
At hotmail.com.
I've been trying to make eye contact with Nicole this whole outro time.
You're she knows better. What's going to happen, so she's avoiding
it. You're just a lot better at the eye contact thing than I am.
Super good eye contact, bro.
Yeah.
Man, that's going to be a new thing where we try to make Nicole maintain eye contact with all of us. Mm-hmm. To the point she stops hanging out with anybody.
Apologize
or she
to
shows,
me.
Or she shows up in horse blinders.
How you want to close it out?
Hmm.
I think we should leave it up to either Jacob or Nicole.
Did you mention? Did you mention the song?
Yeah.
Oh
no, we didn't.
Jacob, Jacob, the name of our theme song.
Moves Pacific More Drive.
Nicole, the person who does our theme song.
No.
He already said it.
Where can that track be found, Nicole?
The show notes on tadpog.com.
Excellent. How would either of you like to close this out?
By screaming, bitch. Obviously.
Okay, so Snorlax then.
Okay, sure. Let's do Snorlax. Nicole, are you going to do it? You have to do a Snorlax voice.
I won't stop. I won't stop halfway through to make you stand out.
Come on.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So we're going to do this like Snorlax, like in Smash Brothers?
That's what I'm planning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So until next time.
Tropical Capricorn.
Good job, Nicole.
She did it.
I saw you commit.
She looked pained the entire time.
I know.
But she did it.
Appreciate it.
She may as well be having anal sex.
Just tuck it all in.
Have you ever done any butt stuff to Josh?
We're rolling.
Talk about that.
We're 4 minutes in the bonus episode. Wait, no, that's the next question on the thing.
That's the question.
Have you ever done any butt stuff to Josh? That's weird. That's what it says.
I don't know.
No.
I'm going to say no.
I haven't. Nicole?
I'll also go no.
Sleepy me tried. He stopped me.